Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Appreciate everyone that's here. These good songs about the Lord letting us be a part of this. I know I'm certainly glad that he let me in on it. And I was just thinking while Sister Lynette was giving us those songs about how the Lord let us Gentiles in on this. It's, of course, been the Lord, I'm sure everyone is aware that he chose a man by the name of Abraham out of the righteous line to try to get himself reintroduced to this world. And of course, from Abraham came Isaac, and then Jacob, and then a family of finally developed into 70 souls, wasn't it, that the Lord sent down into Egypt. Joseph, that's the story of Joseph and his brothers, is a pretty interesting story, and it's a wonderful type in the Bible. But the Lord when you think how the Lord has worked with mankind, it's just amazing to me that you know, it took Joseph going through quite a few things for him to realize that God sent him to Egypt and it wasn't his brothers, even though you know, you might want to be careful about telling what dreams you have. You know, because God set Joseph up. He gave him a dream, and he knew he would tell it to his brothers, and he knew his brothers would hate him for it. And that would cause them to want to kill him. And of course, if it hadn't been for the older brother, well, they probably would have killed him, but God must have put it in his mind to not kill him. And the Lord brought a band of, what were they? Ishmaelites by, right at the right time, so they could sell him and get rid of him that way rather than kill him. But then when you follow his life and see what he went through, you know, I was thinking also today about Job, Sister Tally. I'm still considering going through that book, but that's a tough book. But, you know, one of the things that helps us, stories like the story of Joseph and the story of Job, helps you to realize that this is not all about you. It wasn't all about them. It was for the kingdom of heaven's sake. It was the plan of God. Job suffered for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He suffered for God's sake. So did Joseph. God had to get his righteous family, and we probably ought to say the most righteous that he had, down in Egypt, and put them in slavery for 430 years to get them in a condition that he could really use them, that he could bring Christ eventually to this world, that finally could develop that into a nation. But, you know, Paul said in Romans 11, talking about them being a tame olive branch, and we, Gentiles, being a wild olive branch. sometimes I think we're still wild. And I'm not talking about anybody individual. I'll just start with me. There's a wild streak in me that I can't get it out. You know, there's something beastly. And that is, you know, I still have something inside of me that's not dead. You know, even as a preacher, a pastor, I know, you know, like when you're up talking, you know, certain people ain't listening. They're on their phone, surfing the web. I see all that. Sometimes I want to say something about it, but I just say, bite your tongue and kill that old beast in you and just go ahead and, you know, realize that you can't control people. And so there's, I mean, but that's not just, I'm not talking about just up here behind the pulpit. I'm just talking about my life, just me, myself, and I have trouble with me sometimes, you know. I have a little bit of trouble. Well, not a little bit, but sometimes I have a lot. And I have to be thankful when there's adversity, because that gives you a time to consider, evaluate, and talk to God, pray, and try to bring yourself to righteous actions. But when you look at what God did to get the family, Abraham's family, the Israelites, you know, he changed Jacob's name to Israel. And to get that family and finally build it into a nation, there was millions of them that came out of, I don't know if God could have kept them together any other way than putting them down in Egypt. But evidently they need taming. And he knew how to tame them. And so when Paul says in Romans 11 that he tamed, that they were a tame olive branch, it wasn't because they was born that way. Is because God had to tame them. It took him 2,000 years to get them tamed. And then he started in with us Gentiles, wild. And I was telling the Lord this morning, I said, it's, you know, I have to go back over at times and rehearse our vision and our message. Because sometimes I just don't think there's any way possible that we could be bride material in the next 20 years or so. I'm sorry, I hope I don't discourage any of you, but I know God's going to have to do something. We're going to have something happen that's going to make some changes to cause people to be really righteous overcomers, including me, you know, so... But I rehearse our message. I told my wife this morning, I said, I know the problems. Let me tell you something about maturing in God. You won't, when you first come to church and know God, it's all about you. You're no way in the world capable of carrying the load for others. It's all about you to start with. You're going to have to empty out the world out of your life and get enough of God in you and finally get a vision that I need to give something back. This is part of me. I've got, I've got to do the will of God, and it's not all about me. There's a church, there's people, there's others. We could rehearse everything we've done to think we're worthy, but none of us are really worthy. God, he's taming us. You know, I'm thankful I'm thankful that I haven't had to go through the horror and horrific things that maybe some of our history and past. I mean, just think about the Jews. Think about the Holocaust, what all those people have went through. And then the wars of this nation, things that God's put this country through, trying to get us to a place that he could use us. I still know, you know, when I rehearse it, our time frame, you know, sometimes I think, well, maybe it's going to take a lot longer than what we're thinking. But then scriptures like, after 2 days, you know, he's going to bring the Jews back in, you know, and we can't make them days anything out. We just don't have any scripture. We just got to stick with those 2,000 years. And then there was a 2,000-year Jewish world, and here we are in 2015. And if we go from the day of Pentecost, well, we're not too many years out for another 2,000-year world. And then, you know, I've even tried to really look at Babylon. Are we missing it there? Do we really know what Babylon is? But just read it. Somewhere there's going to be some people that, you know, have killed his prophets, and they're going to be judged down here, and God's going to get his people out from among them. There's just one body in the early church. There'll just be one body in this church, in this end of this world. There's just one body of Christ. There'll be a body of the beast, and there'll be the body of Israel. Israel won't join the beast, but the rest of the world will. The body of Christ won't, but the rest of the world will. But Israel will play a role. They will be grafted back in, and he has kept them tame. They've stayed under the law of Moses. And if what happened in Israel in AD 70 and under the law of Moses and all of their captivities didn't tame them, the Holocaust surely had a great effect. And that all was to bring about the plan of God. It wasn't about them. It was about God's plan. I think sometimes we need to remember, it's not all about me. It's not all about me. It's not all about my feelings. Not all about what, you know, whether or not I've always been done right or wrong. But some of it has to do with God's plan. And sometimes we have to just be willing to spend and be spent for God's plan, for the gospel's sake. But there's something certainly to be thankful for, that, you know, we can grow up in here. I was going to say a minute ago, when you get in here and this, you know, you God begins to deal with your life. And then, but you can't spend your whole journey in the Lord just getting yourself cleaned up. You got to get to a place where you're mature enough that you're part of the building. You're part of the workmanship. You're part of the gospel in lively stones that God's using. And you will never be able to be used of God very strong or in a great way until you really see where you're at. You're going to have to get to where you can see what you're really in, where you're really at, and what's really here, and all the problems. Until you see every problem, you got to see the good and the bad. Until you see all the problems, you can't really know where you're at, and you can't really know how to function. But you got to just say, well, this is where we are, and I really know where I'm at. I really know what's here. And I really know what my job is. I really know what God's called me for. And, I mean, if we're going to make the bride, we're going to have to be leaders. We're going to have to learn how to lead. We're going to have to learn order. We're going to have to learn how to work in order with God's order. All of us. There ain't nobody exempt. And And it's the same way in the body of Christ. As a minister in the general body, you can't help handle cases and deal with doctrine and work in the leadership if you don't really see this body and all of its problems. And when you first see problems in a church, it'll discourage you. You know, Sister Elsie, bless her heart, she's not with us anymore, but she thought this whole place was full of angels. At least in Republic, she thought everybody there was angels and everybody was perfect, nearly. And I don't know if she ever really saw all the problems there, you know, or even here. I don't know if she ever got to a place where she really seen the whole picture. But it is wonderful. I do remember when I first came in, I thought y'all were all angels. But I did start seeing some horns after a while. But I had some too, so I finally got to see mine. But it's harder for me to see mine than it is yours. Isn't that the way it is? But we do have to get to a place where we can see ourselves and then where we can see everyone else too. In here, we learn pretty quickly how to start discerning spirits. And if we're not careful, we'll become judges of another man's servant. We start judging people. That's the seat of the scornful. And you get in that seat. You feel like you're qualified to judge others. And there is some judgment takes place in here. That scripture where it says, judge nothing, lest you be judged, doesn't mean don't judge. It just means don't judge unless you're willing to be judged. If you can't sit down and get judged, then don't you be judging somebody else. If you're not willing for somebody to look into your life and begin to open you up, you got to be willing to be opened up. I do too. Trust me, I've been opened up several times. It's a continual thing. And, you know, you do have to be willing to look at yourself. You got to look every time, you know, somebody opens you up, you got to say, God, is this true? Is this really me? What adjustments do I really need to make? And help me if I need to make them. Help me see myself if I can't see it. And so, the Lord, you know, I was just reminiscing. Let me read. Let's turn to the book of Romans and just read a little bit. I hope I can say something that will be a benefit and encouragement to you. I'm sure not trying to say anything that would discourage you. But sometimes, you know, I think also we have to I don't know what word I'm wanting to inspire, maybe even push a little. For us to, be motivated. Thank you. But in the 11th chapter of Romans, I'll start in the 13th verse. It says, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Of course, Paul's writing this. I magnify my office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, talking about the Jews, might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. In other words, he's just showing that those that didn't make it under the Jews in the early church that rejected Christ, it was their unbelief that caused them to be cast off. But this was opened up to Gentiles, but we need to take heed that we have, you know, that we're careful that we could be cast off too. If them being, he's saying they were tamed, you're wild. that's what I'm saying some about us being wild. I ask God, what's it going to take to tame us, Lord, to get us in a place? I was talking to a preacher the other day. I went and visited his church. I didn't tell him, but I was looking his church over pretty good. And a few days later, I was having dinner with him. I said, how many of your people you think going to make the bride? How many of those people do you think's bride material? He just looked at me. I said, don't answer me. I said, we're not looking on their hearts like God is, but we do know God's going to have to do something. The Lord, it's going to take something. In this body, even this ministry is going to have to, we don't have a real good order. You know, in other words, it would, right now, if you named, I can remember in the body when we thought they were going to name 7 men as leaders of the body. Yeah, and I'm telling you, it stirred up trouble, didn't it? You know why? Because nobody was willing to sit under those 7 men and not be one of them. Now, you'd have said, now you're going to be one of them, they'd have said, I'm all for this. Probably. But, and I've heard it even recently in the last few years that, you know, that the leadership that we're trying to set certain men up is. But you know what? God's going to do that sometime. And I can tell you right now, there's going to be several people leave here when God puts an order to this thing. Because they're not going to set in order. They're not going to be willing to come under authority. But it'll make it God will make it easier for us because he'll give men something that men today don't have. You know, when Peter told Ananias, you know, that he was going to lose his life for what he did, and he dropped dead, the Bible said everyone feared. I would venture to say you would accept Peter after that. You know, might not have accepted him before, but after that you'd probably said, when Peter says something, it's like Merrill Lynch talking. Everybody get quiet. You know, listen. And God will do that for us at some point. There's got to be an inauguration for this body, but remember this, we have a great vision. This is a great message, and there's no message like it anywhere that I know of. And it's certainly not because we're better than anybody, but it's because of God's purpose and God's plan, and we just happen to be people that God could include and use and make a part. We have that opportunity. We have that opportunity that God's given us and added us as Gentiles, not only to the plan of salvation, to the grace of God, but he's also added us to his body, not just Christianity. You know, there's a lot going on in this world, and God's people are in many different categories and phases out here, but one day, in the future, and I can't come up with any other time than making it, you know, in this dispensation, this generation, that God is going to restore his church, and he's going to begin to gather his people out of this religious world into one body. And you and I are fortunate enough that he's already gave us a vision of that. Most of God's people don't know that. But here, you and I, we know it. God has gave us, you know, I know some of you don't like the fact that I talk on prophecy in the future and you run that down some. I don't blame you. But I don't have anybody else to practice it on. And it's my message. So, but I think you're not listening very well. Get off of your cell phone, listen a little better, because that ain't the only thing I talk on. I'm not talking on it today. I'm talking on things that pertain to us today. And but we've been added to the body of Christ in its restoration or restoring. Let me say it that way: restoring condition. And it where we're at right now is what God is doing, restoring His church, and it's the greatest revelation that I know of. I don't know where else you could go. You know, all I know is stay in the boat. Stay on the job. And some of us may, I don't know. I wouldn't want it to be Job. I wouldn't want God to use me like He used Job. I mean, you know, if God does that, you ain't nothing you can do about it. Job didn't have a thing to do with that. That was between Satan and God, and Job was right in the middle. And God used him for His purpose and His name's sake. I still say Job, I think Job would have, I know he got 7 more children, but don't you think he would have rather had the first 7 that he had and lived out his life with them? But I'm sure Job at some point came to the realization, this ain't all about me. I suffered for the kingdom's sake. I suffered for God's sake. God had to prove something to Satan. God had to prove something to the world, and God had to do something in me and put it down in Holy Writ so that somebody else might get the depths of understanding. You know, the Lord, He does sometimes single one out and says, I'm going to use you, whether you like it or not. And, I mean, we say God won't force Himself on you. Don't be too quick to say that. God will force some things on you, but He won't make you be saved. He won't do that. He won't make you be righteous. But He may use you, and He's got the right to do that. He created you. He created this world. And I think sometimes if we could realize we're under the Almighty and His hand, you know, I'd like you to have His favor. That's what I'm looking for, is can I get Your favor, Lord, on my life? And not only favor, but Your blessings. I mean, that's part of the favor, is His blessings. He won't never owe you anything. He will repay you. He repaid Job. He got double everything back. I don't know if you'd ask him afterwards, would you rather have what you started out with or the double you ended up with? He'd have probably said, if you asked me what I would have wanted, I'll tell you. But if you want me to tell you what I found out my Father wants, and that I know now that it was His purpose and that it was His right and that it was greater than me. It had more to do than me. See, a lot of times we get in this. When we first get in it, we say, yes, Lord, I'll do anything You want me to do. I'll obey You. Whatever You say, Lord, I'll do it. That's how you get in this. I can tell you right now, you can't get saved until you say an unequivocal yes to God. That's what it takes to get saved. And I'll be fair, and I think God will be fair too, in letting you know that He didn't tell you everything He's going to do in your life when He saved you. He just ask you to say yes. Because if he'd have told you the whole story, you wouldn't have said yes. No. I mean, any of us, if you could have ran the video forward and your life forward in God, what God's going to require of you, you'd have said, ooh, wait a minute. Now, if you could have got to the end, if you could have got to the end of the story, you'd have said yes. You'd have saw how it would end up if you kept saying yes. Let's read a little bit more here. Verse 20, let's read it again. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. See, that's how you got in, he's telling them. But be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them that fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If, everybody, you are to circle that little if in your Bible. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Put that little verse right there in your repertoire to help answer people who believes that in eternal security. Eternal security has an if. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief. See the mercy of God? It's balanced. You can't stay. You can stay if. You can come back if. If they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. How much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest thou should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. That don't mean everyone that rejected him and turned away, because they have the if they come back. But it means all Israel that will, that where it said, if they abide not still in unbelief, that's the all Israel that will be saved. Those that come back in shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For there's my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they're beloved for the fathers. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Paul had an insight. God gave him revelation. If you want to turn back, let's turn back to the Hosea, the 6th chapter. See, he was well aware of all these scriptures. In fact, he had a greater insight of them, I'm sure, maybe than we even do now. But he said, come, Hosea 6:1, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he'll raise us up, and we'll live in his sight. See, after 2 days, 2,000 years of the Gentile world, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come, Paul says, after the fullness of the Gentiles, in 2 days or 2,000 years, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And He said, we'll live in his sight. And the third day, he'll raise us up. See, in the 1,000 years, there'll be a Jewish ministry. The only way, this is just common sense, that the only way that the church wouldn't fall away, if the Lord makes up his bride down here and takes all of us that make it out of here and into the bride, how would he keep the church from falling away during the millennium? How would that happen? How could the bride rule and reign for 1,000 years with a bunch of wild, ungodly heathen? But God has, he fixed a great gulf between, in the parable of the sower, between the rich man and Lazarus. There's been a great gulf. They can't come to us and we can't go to them for this whole 2,000 years. But down here in the end of this world, mark this down. Watch when pure-blooded Jews start coming into the body of Christ and start receiving the Holy Ghost and the vision, this vision, you can know we're getting close. That's a telltale sign for you. That after 2 days, he's going to graft them back in, and before the bride's made up, he'll start grafting Jews in. Not in Israel, but right here in America in the body of Christ. There's more Jews in America than there is over in Israel. Right now, I don't know if that'll change or not, but it may not. If they keep letting Iran mess with their nuclear weapons, there's going to be a Holocaust over there before it's over with. But, and I still, right now, God's, you know, hasn't opened it up. We're still looking through a glass darkly, but I still agree with Brother Leniger that Israel as a nation will probably be destroyed. It doesn't mean it won't rebuild after Armageddon, but it'll probably be destroyed when America goes down. There's several prophetical things that's transpiring right now in the Middle East that's preparing these last day events that are written in the Bible. It's going to take place, but God, the world's going down, you know, in corruption and even demise, but the body of Christ is coming up. He's going to raise a standard, and he'll have a people just like in the end of the Jewish world. There, it was chaotic, and of course in AD 70 it was judged, but the body of Christ was living, and it was, Jesus came back for a glorious church that was without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing in the end of that world, and gathered part of his bride together. And he's going to do that down here. He'll make up the remainder of his bride, but he will graft the Jews back in. And when he does, he's held them in the law of Moses and the prophets, and they've rehearsed that even for this 2,000 years that he tamed them. And I'm sure God was in the Holocaust. When you look at that, it makes you not only angry, but it just makes you sick that humankind could do the things that was done in the Holocaust. And the same thing in several other wars and the other slaveries and things that took place in this world. It just makes you sick. I'm glad that they brought some of the true movies that we can see, and books and literature that we can read and know what was done. When you look at how people were separated from, you know, how many of you have had anybody tear your children away from you? Take them to a prison camp. You'd never see them again. We think we suffer. I mean, I'm telling you, there's some people suffered in this world. And some of it's been for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Some of it's just been, you know, corruption. I'm sure that every martyr, there's people dying for false religions. There's Muslims right now committing suicide, thinking that they're going to win a place in immortality, a glorious heaven. And they're not going anywhere but to a grave. And, you know, so people die for vanity. But we're talking about what God's brought us to and how the Lord's worked in it. And here, after 3 days, he said he'll raise us up. And then we will know, verse 3, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. So the Lord will graft them back in, and when God touches them and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the law of Moses and the prophets come alive in their mind, they're going to see that Christ was the Messiah, and they're going to see the body of Christ that their brothers went into back there, and they're going to see that this is the body of Christ here today, and God's going to make it available to them, and they'll come back in, and God will have somebody that's got a divine order, that's come into divine order, and has a full sevenfold light to carry this thing right on into the thousand-year millennium. Now, turn to Ephesians. I'm going to see if I can get out of what God has, does, and going to do, and maybe get into our day a little bit. Yes, Brother Weiniger. Fisher.
So we get to the end date. Was it the day of Pentecost?
Day of Pentecost. Because that's when the kingdom of heaven... in other words, under the law, there's no way that there could be a new covenant until Jesus died, because for him to remarry on the day of Pentecost, to marry another woman, there had to be a death. He was bound to her as long as they lived. But when he died, that ended his covenant with Israel. And he married again on the day of Pentecost, and the church... His body, that started the kingdom of heaven under a new covenant. So from there, we're talking 2 days or 2,000 years. Well, and it was 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ. So, that 2,000 years, another 2,000 in the Gentile world, 2,000 in the antediluvian world, 6,000 years, 6 days God made man, seventh day he rested. We enter into God's rest in the millennium or the seventh. So we're saying our 2,000 years would end. But remember now, on the day of Pentecost, they had a 45-year day there that you'd have to probably add it to the 2,000 years. In other words, that was the day of the Lord. We're going 2,000 years to, or at least the 15-year period, the last prophetical hour. I've never heard, and we don't really have any scripture that I know of where I can put it to the, you know, beyond just the day of Pentecost started at 2,000 years would take us, if my timetable's right, 2033. You know, some people have the day of Pentecost as a different date. that's the most common agreed to by theologian date, but there's always been a lot of question about the date. So, and then there's been dates changed. You know, so I don't hold to an exact year or date. I'm just trying to get close for us. I gave out the timetable in Brother Sharber's in January, and one of the convention center brethren told me, said, "Well, we didn't go through all them dates to get to where you got, but we just added 2,000 years to 2033, and that's what we've always held to, is 2033. So, you know, I said, "Well, y'all went about it a lot simpler. I should have met y'all a long time ago." Yes. Yes. I think the new covenant on the day of Pentecost was available to Gentiles. It just took time for the Lord to bring them in, but the covenant made it available to them. You know, and just like us, I mean, we are way down here 2,000 years later and almost, and there's still people added in. So, here we are, you know, the Lord's, he's finishing up this work. If you go back to Romans 11, and I'm not going to go back to, we already read it, but after the fullness of the Gentiles, God's going to add, he's going to graft them back in. And I would say the fullness, meaning the church is restored. And then they will come in a restored church. There's no, God's not going to bring them in until they, it's going to take something powerful I think everybody here would agree to that. It's going to take something mighty powerful for Jews to begin to flock in here and say, we see that we missed it and that Jesus is our Messiah. Brother York, go ahead just a minute, Brother. It's on.
Will it be after like 2033 when the Gentiles, when it be restored, and that's when the Jews will be grafted back in? Will it be at that time?
Well,
or sometimes after that, or is that when?
I think
when the Gentiles.
I think they'll start coming in before that even.
I see.
Somewhere, but right down in the end of this 30-year period, if 33 would be a right date, but it'd be somewhere in close to that. I think we can't move too far. I think the earliest date you could look at for the day of Pentecost would be AD 29, all the way to 34. There's about a 5-year time frame there that theologians still argue about what day it was. If Jesus was born in AD 4. But anyway, those that hold to that use AD 20, BC 4, and then 33 and a half, 29. So, but anyway, we know we'd have to be close in AD 30, AD 33, somewhere in that range of years. It'd have to be, the way I worked it out with the time frame of the four angels in the River Euphrates, it has to be AD 33. If those dates are right, it has to be. Because if you change one of them, it every bit of it is done away with. But, you know, you can't. Because it changes it all. It would change it from Brother Souders is, you know, the 360, 100 years and 30 years and 15 would not come out to be, it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work with history. So that's why I'm holding to that. You know, for right now, it's the best I can come up with. I'm just asking the brother to study it with me. Let's adjust it if it needs adjusted. But we've got to find reasoning. You can't just use one reasoning to come up with an answer. It's going to have to work all the way through with all the scriptures. So, Brother McGowan, you had a question?
When you were making reference to the Jews coming in, I've always agreed with that aspect of it. But we're talking about Jews that's going to take this gospel down through the next 1,000 years, so they're not going to be in the bride of Christ. So are we talking about them coming in before the church starts, receiving the gospel? Or are we talking about after it has been in existence for a little while and they come in and receive the gospel, but not have enough time maybe to become overcomers and make the bride of Christ?
You know, we've got Brother Moel. Poor Brother Moel. He's the only pure-blooded Jew that we've got, other than, I think Brother Ratliff may have a few people over there in Israel that Brother Wallace has worked with. You know, they've held on to that message, and so that may prove to be some benefit, and you know, to even get some of the Jews in Israel involved. But I think most of them it'll be here. But I see that when the last prophetical hour starts in 7.5 years, the bride will be made up, and the Jews will come in. I think some Jews will make the bride down here, just like some of the Gentiles, maybe like Timothy. There might have been a few, you know, that made it back there, but I don't think too many did. I don't think they had time. They were too wild. but I think some of these tame ones that come in, you know, maybe Brother Moel will make it.
Well, this is not saying, or I'm hoping that nobody would assume that I'm saying that no Jews are going to make it in the bride down here, because I thoroughly believe that there will be. Mm-hmm. But there is going to be I don't even know how to say whether there will be a large number that won't make the bride, but they'll have the gospel.
There will have to be, you know, a ministry. There's going to be Jews come in here, get the Holy Ghost, and have a call to the ministry of the body of Christ and the end of the Gentile world, for the purpose, when the bride's made up, they'll carry this gospel through the 1,000 years, that ministry. And I'm sure it doesn't have anything to do with really them being Jews, other than that's the only people that God could give a vision of this and keep the church from falling away. There'll be other nationalities and cultures of people coming in by the droves, I think, especially after Armageddon. I think it's going to shake this world to a point that people are going to be begging for God to help them get through this great tribulation. I think they're going to come, they're going to wash their robes and make them white, and it'll be a number that no man can number. Down, and it'll take hundreds of years probably to clean this world up of the devastation that's going to take place. So I think it's going to take a Jewish ministry to do the work, but God, it'll be opened up to the whole world. This gospel, it's open right now for all Gentiles, but God can't reach all Gentiles yet. Look at us. We're just a little David ministry on the backside of the desert. We're still not ready to fight Goliath. We're not ready to go out. We're still got too much. We're still trying to work with Saul's armor. Something. It's going to take God to help us to get whatever we got to get through to get tame, finish getting us tame. So I'll just tell y'all this. I'm willing to stay with you to get tamed. I hope we're willing to stay together. I don't know where else you can get tamed. I don't know where else you know. I'm not a perfect guy. I can tell you that right now, but I am your pastor, if you let me be. I'll try to be one. I've made mistakes. I haven't done everything exactly right, but I'll tell you this, I didn't do any of it intentional. I didn't intentionally try to hurt anybody or make anybody mad. I hate for people to be mad at me. I absolutely hate it. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't like to fight. And you can just about talk any fight out of me. I'm that way. I can't even kill animals. So I may stand up and pooch my chest out, but I can sit down. Some of you never have tried me to find out whether I can. You just don't think I will. Anyway, in Ephesians, the third chapter, he's talking to Gentile church now, and he said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that," here's the mystery, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the last of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Of course, he's referring, he was a Pharisee. He made havoc of the church. He was part of, some people were thrown in prison. There were people killed over the gospel. He was a part of the group that did that. Could you make him your apostle? He might have threw your mother in jail. He may have had something to do with your grandparents, or, can you forgive? That's somebody mentioned it in the Montreal meeting. I thought it was a really good thought, where it is in Matthew 10, I think, where Jesus was saying to forgive. And he said, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive. But the brother that was using that was using forgive, like forbear, forgive. He said, you got to learn how to give like God gives. And forgive. Push everything aside. Be willing to give. Give of yourself. Take, serve, spend, and be spent. But go ahead and keep giving like God does. Forgive. Four, move all of the stuff out of the way that keeps you from giving and go ahead and give anyway. And make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principles and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I appreciate these songs we had today, because here we are singing about he included me. Paul was telling the church at Ephesus how they got included and how God, it was a mystery before that, because they weren't included until the new covenant came into effect. But now they're included. Then they should be fellow heirs. and partakers of the promise of Christ by this new gospel, this good news. And you know, I'm just trying to go back and have some appreciation for what all God has done and what all His creation has had to go through to get us to a place that we could acknowledge Him in a right way, where we could really, you know, we could really give Him His place in our lives. I don't know about you, but I still have self in the way sometimes. I still, you know, my wife and I were talking about, you know, what does it take to get new people? I told her. I said, it's going to take people to get self out of their way. Nobody's trying to win new people. Nobody's spending their time. They're playing, they're recreating. They're doing, it's all about self. But it's going to take some of us willing to get, spend, and be spent. I think when you get involved in it, you get excited about it, and it's not a job anymore. But it can be a job to get started sometimes, to do something different. Who was it, Brother Jason Sutmiller reminded us again of the saying we've all heard, if we always do what we've always done, we're going to always be what we've always been. And so we're not going to change anything here unless we're willing to change some things. And if you think that I can do it all myself, one man, I can't. I can't. In fact, at some point, someday, when this thing gets inaugurated, all these meetings that I'm spending y'all's money for, you know, it cost a lot. I just spent $1,500 going to Montreal. I'll spend another $1,000 next week. Not this week at the meeting, but the week after that, the minister's meeting in Ducoin. Then I got another one September the 4th at the convention center. Then I got another one in New York. Don't get on to me about that. Get on to Brother Leninger. He's the one that done that. He got me in I don't know how I'm trying to get out of some of it, but I begged him, and I said, let me help find somebody else who can help y'all. I can't keep doing all this. Oh no. You know, there ain't nobody else. Well, I told him, I said, look, when I die, this thing will just keep right on going. Y'all will figure something out. You might as well start figuring now. But, I would hate to tell y'all that today. I'd hate to say, y'all figure it out. I won't be back. I feel like I need to help you a little bit further. Some of you may not agree with that, but I still feel like you need a little help before I pass off the scene or move down the road. So we need to get things a little bit better shape where some we know it's going to go on. But according, let me back up to 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers and heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought, why did God let this great man building the body of Christ among the Gentiles sit in a cold, molded jail cell? Cold. Had to write somebody and ask them, send me some cover. Send me a cloak. Send me some parchment so I can read the Word of God. Why did God let him go through that? It wasn't all about. I'm or we can just chunk the whole thing. But it wasn't all about the Apostle Paul. It was about whatever God needed to put him through to finish the work in him. But then he saved about half of the jail cell soldiers and keepers. Guards. May have nearly all of them. Oh, God. Can you go to jail for Jesus and still preach the gospel and not feel like God did you wrong? I'll just be honest with you. There's times I've wished I was back in Missouri. Every one of them people loved me. I didn't have to win none of them. They already loved me. I gave up everything. My home, my everything. Sometimes, there's been times, I'll just be honest, I'm human. But I know God was in it. I had to obey the Lord. I'm sure you wished I was back in Missouri. Some of y'all wished you could go, whoop. out of the, what did Jesus tell me? If you got faith as a grain of a mustard seed, saying to this mountain, be thou removed, plucked into the sea. Sometimes you just want to pluck something up and cast it in the sea. You road rage, you ever had a car in front of you, just like to say, in the sea. No, y'all don't ever have that happen. Your spirit, do you? All right, look. He said, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Wow. What he went through is God was doing something in him that's causing him to want to do something for them. I wouldn't have calculated it that way if he hadn't have told us. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This man had something in God, didn't he? It wasn't all about him, was it? He cared about those people. He prayed. He said, I don't cease. I bow my knees unto the Father, that you would be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. What is this, the whole measure, that you could really inhabit the whole plan of God, the breadth, the length, faith unto the end. You can't go any further than your faith. That's the length of it. But your faith will have to take you to the end, the finished product of God in your life. And the depth, that we could reach the true depth of humility. You got to go down before you go up. It's going to take humbling before God. God will have to just keep taming us. God in heaven. Don't you reckon Paul knew that? I'm sitting in this cold jail cell because I need this. It's working in something in me that's causing me to give you people the things you need. It's for your glory. So he said, don't be worrying about me and sorrowing for me. This is for you. Man, you'd have to have an insight and a touch of God to know something like that, wouldn't you? I still want that. I don't have it fully made up in me, but I still want it. I see it. I see that it's something that people of God need.
the depth and the height. For God to exalt us, for God to give us a crown that we could really rule with righteousness, love, the wisdom of God, the proper balance. You know, when you look at Jesus, he wasn't no pushover. But he was righteous in all that he did. He sounded like kind of a rough preacher at times, but other times he seemed like he was, you know, awful soft. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I know, you know, somewhere along your journey, you're going to think about giving up if you hadn't already, and most of you have. But something keeps you, and causes you to want to keep on going. Because you know there's no other way out of here. And this ain't all about me. You know, I mean, I guess you could quit and say, look, you know, I used to deer hunt with a guy, and I talked to him quite a bit. I mean, it was after I come to the body. And he told me, he said, I don't believe in God, Mick. He said, I just don't believe all that. I said, how in the world can you live in this world and not believe in God? How can you look up in the sky? How do you think this just all happened? He said, I can't explain it all, but I don't believe in all that religion stuff. I ain't heard nothing that makes any sense to me. I said, I wish you'd let me tell you what makes sense to me. He said, I don't believe all that heaven and hell and all that. I said, well, you got part of that right. Let me help you. He said, look, when I die, I'm just going to die. And that's the end of me. And that's okay with me. He said, because I'm going to live the way I want to live while I'm here. And when I go to sleep, I won't know no more anyway. I said, you're going to trade, you know, 60, 70 years against eternity for just... I said, you would like God if you'd get to know him. I said, then you'd like life that he gives you better than the life you got if you just taste of it and see that he is good. But he died believing just what he said he believed. Nothing. And as far as I know, he's gone. Unless something happened, you know, like the thief on the cross. Now unto him that, here's the good part, saints. Unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There's a power in the Holy Ghost and the birth and the salvation that God has given you that can work something in you above all you can even think of. Ask. So don't give up. There's one that's working in you. You may not know what he's doing, but he knows. Can you trust him? Can you trust in that? Tell him. Sometimes just tell him, God, this is hard on me. I'm trusting you as much as I can, but I ain't batting 100, and I know it. I can tell you this. If you'll say, God, my grip on you is not as great as it should be, but if you'll hold on to me, don't turn me loose. I've prayed that prayer many times, and so far he's kept me. When my grip was turning loose, and I've said, God, don't let me go. Hold me. Hold me through the things that I don't know how to hold on through. And I'm still here. The only key I can tell you is get here. Get here. This is where God has you. Get here. How many times have you come to church wishing you wasn't going and you left thinking, thank God I went. I feel better now. What a Savior. Yeah. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. All right. It's time for me to sit down, but maybe one of you, maybe we could. Brother Phil, won't you come take up the prayer request? Let's remember Sister Inez. She had a better day yesterday. She was doing better, talking with more strength. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God gave us a miracle? I'm still holding on. Are you? Let's keep holding on. Look, I also want to say how much I appreciate everybody that's not only have worked to help get things ready for the youth meeting, but also those of you that's, you know, still have work to do to get us through it. I want you to know I appreciate you. I appreciate it. It's a job, I know. And next year we have a ministers' meeting, but in 2017, unless the Lord talks to us, well, I'm planning on not having a meeting that year and being a year of rest, a Sabbath. Is that all right? But I know, you know, here last Wednesday night, just a Houston bus come in, and, you know, we didn't have anything really happen that would really make a great move, but it just didn't take much at all for them kids to just start reaching out, touching God. Got up here and got to speaking in tongues, and it could have went on probably no telling how much longer if we'd have let it. I thought, boy, next week, you know, these young people need this. And our young people need more than what, you know, we can give them. God's going to have to do something for them. Because our young people, saints, are living in a world that is far different than the one we came up in. And they need help today. You young people, forgive me, but I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I wouldn't want to grow up in this world. But I know God will give you the strength, and His grace will be sufficient for you. But, oh, I'm just telling you, hold on for the new, for the bride, and being a part of what God's going to do in the new earth, because I can tell you that I remember at my young age, I remember a world far different than this one, where little children could run up and down the streets and their mamas didn't even have to know where they was at. They was in a safe place. They could go play. You just step out after dark. My dad used to step out on the porch after dark. He'd do that only about twice that long. And us boys that would hear that, we'd say, time to go home. Dad just whistled. We might be almost two blocks away. We'd hear that whistle. And yeah, they didn't know where we was at. They just knew we was probably in whistling distance. If I had a little boy. I'm talking about when we was six, seven, 8 years old. I wouldn't let my little 6, 7, 8 year old kid do that today. I wouldn't even want him down the street half a block, hardly of them sight. You know, somebody liable to grab them before I could save them. But anyway, there's a world coming, saints. There's something coming. And you're still living in the greatest country in the world, so be thankful. Amen. Wednesday night, we might just mention, of course, the reason we didn't have breakfast and Bible study today is because they waxed the floor yesterday and was letting it cure, but they're going to buff it again before they put the tables and chairs up. And I was asked, maybe we should do that, so that we wouldn't scuff it up before we got it all done, put back together for the meeting. I hope everybody was contacted. It was a last, you know, deal that we did. If you weren't contacted and you got here for Bible study this morning, I apologize to you because I hate that if that happened. But then Wednesday night, if we could all, after service, just kind of everybody look around, all the ladies look in the ladies' restroom, pick up trash, same thing with the men in the men's restrooms back here. And if we need to clean up, and please pick up all of your stuff. Don't leave your Bibles or any of your belongings in the pews, please. And then if you'd just kind of hang around after church a little bit and help us make sure that everything's cleaned up and ready for the meeting. We've got the brother Mark Boyd's got with the air conditioned guy. They're ready for the put the new the air conditioning in. We're looking for a unit that we can buy and own for ourselves. We can use it back and forth from the gym to here, and then maybe get a permanent one. We found some 15-ton units like that for around $4,000 or $5,000. Used, of course, but in good condition, and some of them still under warranty. So it'd be good if we could get that gym air conditioned and maybe have one of them on a trailer that we can just pull around here during our youth meeting. And we've got the electric set up to receive it now downstairs, so it'll be much better this year than it was last year. So thank you all for your labors and your sacrifices. I can't repay you, but I know a man that can. Hallelujah.
So, is there any other needs that we need to mention, and we go to prayer? Anyone else that we need? Oh, Brother Sister Crow, always standing request, as Brother Smith mentioned earlier. Sister Inez, to remember her. It's good to hear that she had a better day. Sister Fisher. So there's a praise report right there from my Aunt Liz. Came through the surgery for her heart very well, and actually going to a regular room and just thanking us for our prayers. Sister Donna? Okay, so your brother with a kidney problem, needing prayer. And then also, she's sharing a burden about Sister Lisa. Let's not forget her. My grandfather needs prayer. He's not as young as he once was. Brother Weaver. Let's continue to remember Brother Weaver and his family that need prayer. That reminds me of.
There's a way that God would help Brother Weaver make it possible for him to get back up here, move back up here,
get in here and help us. We need him. We love him. Amen. We want him to be a part.
Yes.
And then I'd like to add Steve Sutmiller is in the hospital. He's a severe diabetic. He's in the McAllister Church. And he's my first cousin once removed. But he's got an infection that they can't get rid of, and it's real serious. So I know he'd appreciate it if we'd pray for him. Yes? Yes, Brother Jimmy Dickens is going to have open heart surgery in St. Louis this week. So pray for Brother Dickens, Sister Janice and Brother Dickens.
Sister? Okay. All the youth traveling back from Louisville, let's remember them as they're traveling. Also, I was thinking of Brother Shelby and Brother Johnson, and then Brother Johnson's wife. Let's remember her. Any other needs tonight, Brother Crafton? All right, Brother Crafton's mother, Jenny, and Karen, his sister, and Brother Al. Brother Al's got a special unspoken, so let's get that one. And then Sister Abraham's not here today, so let's remember her, and we know that she's always asking for prayer for her family. Let's not forget that. Anything else we have to before go for the Lord? If the ushers will go ahead and come forward so we can receive the offering. All right, if we'll go ahead and stand and take these needs before the Lord. Let's remember, we got this, as Brother Smith said, the youth meeting is upon us. It was great to hear the testimonies also of the youth, some of the older youth that were from Houston. Just, you know, it always feels good to know, you know what, we have had a part in a lot of their lives and enriching them, and God has blessed them. So let's get prepared for this, but let's take these needs before the Lord. Dear God, help us, Lord. Fall on you. Oh, God, the great physician, Lord, the only one that we know that can answer these needs, dear God, each and every one that we have here today, Lord. Oh, God, if you'll touch Sister Inez right now, dear Jesus, she'd want to be with us, Lord, working, laboring for your people, Lord. If you'll just touch her right now, Lord, we know she'll be with us, Lord, dear God, each and every one of these needs that we have, Lord. Brothers to Crow, Lord, pillars in this church. Oh, God, strengthen them in these last days, Lord. Help them. Fill our love, Lord. Oh God, to fill your spirit each and every day, dear God. Oh, God. Different needs we've had mentioned. Jimmy Dickens, Lord, is about to have surgery. There's different ones that have been mentioned here today, God. Lord, what we know is to lift your name up and ask you for help, Lord. Ask you for deliverance. Ask you for strength. Ask you for more faith, Lord. We're dependent upon you, God. You're our Heavenly Father, Lord. You see us through every circumstance, every situation, God. If we'll just trust in you with all our heart and lean on your understanding and not our own, God. We know you'll see us through. Dear Jesus, strengthen us through this youth meeting. Help us all to get prepared to be servants for your people, dear God, your children. Oh, God, help us to be there for each and every one. We love you. We appreciate you, Lord, so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful ministry, Lord. The teachings you give to us, dear God, help us to put them to practice in our heart. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord.
Faith to believe today. If we let tomorrow take our trust away, keep your eyes on Christ and you'll grow in faith. And someday we'll see his face. Let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. Sheltered from all harm in his loving arms. Let's keep holding on to him. Knew a man walking on the sea. He was flesh and blood, just like you and me. Oh, he lost his faith for a moment then. He cried for Christ and he rose again. Oh, let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Always holding on to his sweet love. Sheltered from
I can speak or not, because I feel the load on Brother Smith. Do you feel it? We need to pray. There's a lot of praying needed. We need to examine ourselves, don't we? How am I doing? What's my heart telling me? Listen, I've been in this all my life. Before I even knew it, I was in it. Like a baby, you know, you don't know. But all these years, I keep thinking I'm still here. And I can't believe I've passed so many years. And I don't know if my standing with the Lord is any better. I keep thinking, I want to grow, Lord. I want more. And I appreciate the way Brother Smith admits his problems. He sees that he's not got what he wants. He's not being able to complete. But God will give us it. God's already given him so much, and we can hardly contain the food he's feeding us. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for what we have. The ministers that's led this church are leading ministers. And we still have leading ministers. Great men. Don't when you get close to them, you might see a fault. You might hear a mistake in speech or whatever. Don't be picky. Look at yourself first. Take a look at yourself and say, oh God, thank God for what you've given us, Lord. Thank God for all this and what's been happening in this church. How many people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost right here? You and I, all of us. And there's going to be some more right away. What a wonderful church. I praise the Lord for what we have. Thank the Lord. And you that are coming. And those that are missing here. They may have a problem and a cause or a place. But nevertheless, we ought to pray for those that are not here. That could be here. I feel a hurt. Because I can see some of the future. All the difficulties. But I learned some years ago, and it wasn't too long back, that I began to thank the Lord for my suffering. When I found out that scripture, all things work good to the Lord. All things, how's it go?
Work together
for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And it goes on into wonderful meanings. And we need to praise the Lord for what we have. If you got the Holy Ghost, please listen. If you got the Holy Ghost, use it. Use it. Get up and praise the Lord for it. The Holy Ghost is your real life. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you got nothing. You're going to die dead. No hope. You got the Holy Ghost, you better be thankful for it, and you better start growing in it. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to lift our brother up, ourself up. And commit our hearts, and have a forgiving heart. And if you see people that you don't think are right or something, how do you think? Do you pass them by? Do you love them? Isn't it our place to love our brothers and sisters? We need to have more love, more consideration. There's not a one of us innocent of sin. Be merciful to those that you wouldn't have. Change your mind and ask God to give you a love in your heart, at least of consideration and pity, passion for other people that might be so, not be as strong as you or as good as you. I love all of you. It's put it in, God put it in my heart. We can make it. God will give you that love if you use it. That is the Holy Ghost. I think, you know, about 10 years ago or more back, when we got out here to worship, there was dancing. There was praising the Lord. Sometimes falling on the floor. Running around. But we've grown old, and our body doesn't want to jump up and down so much. Anybody witness that? Look at the older people. You don't see them jumping up and down much. I remember an old man in here that came into this church, and she had his daughter was the piano player, and she led the what do you call it, course? No. Yeah. A group of people that was choir. She led that choir and played the piano, and she got fixed so she couldn't come. I mean, she got hurt or injured. And there's not a one of us here that doesn't have a problem, probably. Everybody's got a problem. Is it physical, pain, whatever, fear, anger, all those things. But you know, if we look up, God, you gave me the Holy Ghost. Help me to use it. And help me to be overcome the bashfulness. I had a problem with that for a long time, years and years and years. And I understand it. If you got the Holy Ghost, is that the only time you've ever spoken in tongues? When's the last time? Let's use the Holy Ghost. What do you say? Pray about it. Pray about it. I'm praying about it, and I'm feeling good. Even at home and by myself, I can touch the Lord, and I'm so thankful for it. But I'm watching, and I see myself having the same problem I had, bashfulness. When I got touched by the Lord, I held it back because my nose run. It still does. And I mean, even right now. I say that, and it's hard for me. It's hard for me to get over that selfishness. But I want to praise the Lord. I want to make it. I'm spending my life for it. I want to keep it. God bless you. Let's reach out. Get ready. And set your heart to help them, these young people that's going to be here in pretty soon. If you can't just get out there and help pray with them, at least stand back there and pray for them. Do something. Children need what we've got. And if we don't use what we got, we'll lose it. You'll live your life for naught. God is right here. Let's worship Him. Keep it in your mind. Ask God to lift you up. Whatever you're suffering, set it aside and ask God to lift you up and see if you can be beneficial to somebody else. Let's reach out with one another. God bless you. I love every one of you. I put it in my heart. I love every one of you. Whatever your problem is, just keep on praying. God will help you. There's not a person in the Bible that's mentioned in the Bible that didn't suffer. That some people don't have the Holy Ghost and it's no good for them or nothing. They don't use it. They don't abide to it. But let's use the Holy Ghost. Worship the Lord. Lift your hands up. Get so happy you're jumping up and down. While you can. When you get old, it's hard to jump up and down without falling down. God bless you.
Wednesday night before, Wednesday's before Thursday. Yes. Okay. What room is that? Cake room? Okay. If all the young people would meet downstairs right after church, because they're going to do some handprints, or we're going, our theme in this meeting is Do You Know Him? And this video that Sister Inez so much loved and we all learned to like so much, all those things that He's our King, all the things that he is. It's mentioned in there. I think y'all are planning on making up a collage of them or putting them all over maybe the church, which would be good. And anyway, if y'all will meet downstairs, so that's going to be part of that, I guess. All right. Shake hands and be friendly, Brother Tally. If you forgot to turn your bed in, please let Brother Tally know. He's got some folks asking for beds. Have we got beds for all the Brownsville people yet? We got them. Still got people asking for beds. So if you can give up a bed, that would be wonderful. We'd appreciate it. Brother Stewart.